welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, it is now or never. And I can tell you, because it's Feedback Friday, we're going to get into some feedback. This has been a real, I'll just say, I've received a huge spike in my engagements, contacts, emails, and so forth. And actually from a lot of people that I've never even heard from before. And so instead of kind of giving you the list down, and actually I even spoke to a couple of my sponsors, or the people I endorse. I shouldn't say sponsors. Those that I actually endorse in this show. So let me get to those endorsements, and then we'll get to some feedback, because it all really stems from, you know, what the Biden administration is doing. Now, as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. What more would you want when it comes down to what do we need to do, why do we need to do this? Wouldn't academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions be the best way? Wouldn't it? I mean, instead of just letting somebody create some cockamamie idea, like, you know, let's create healthcare for everybody, single-payer system, communism. Communism has been played out for years and years and years, and you've heard me say on this show that even when Alexander the Great asked Aristotle, his mentor, why do we keep on falling for this? Basically, Aristotle broke it down this way, and I'm paraphrasing. You can find this in J.M. Roberts' History of the World. It's a compendious summation of his view of history of the world. You got to remember, he is a Darwinist, but he is not necessarily kind of a revisionist, but not necessarily a hardcore progressive Darwinist. Anyway, because he actually puts a lot of information in these books that I think a real progressive revisionist would not want people to know. So I find it interesting that this paradox, when you read some of these progressives, but not hardcore or ideologically progressive, but anyway, what he basically stated, or what Aristotle basically told Alexander the Great, is that all societies that, you know, have basically sprung up from the family model. And the family model is such a strong model. It creates societies. And so what ends up happening is people try to transpose their family model upon the state. In other words, making the state become the parents. They say, well, you know, we all have these families. Why don't we let the state become the parents? And that, if you understand that, that becomes a real perversion, because now the states assume authority over both families and lives and so forth, when actually government in the state is really supposed to only serve two objects, protecting life and protecting property. So in essence, that's why they keep doing this, is because most people think it's so more righteous. It's so good to them that they take care of everything for us. If you want to be a baby, if you need to have your diapers changed, if you need to have somebody feed you and take care of you. But as I've always noted, even the hardcore communists want to be able to choose what they're going to eat or drink. As a matter of fact, if you gave them a variety of what to choose from, they would always choose something out of the variety. Now, if you label it, communists drink this. If you believe in statism, you drink this Kool-Aid. And then you have natural juices and sodas and alcohol and whatever types of drinks there, to see if they're going to drink the Kool-Aid that they're supposed to drink, or are they going to drink these other things. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to choose to drink whatever they want, and it won't be the Kool-Aid. So every communist is a hypocrite, but every communist understands that they have to do what is necessary to force you, because they know you won't willingly do it. This is why the old saying, the ends justify the means. Doing what they have to do to force you is what is necessary. Anyway, Bob Seminar, hope to find out by next week when he's going to be putting together the seminar so people can understand what's going on and how to actually translate what has happened out of this Electoral College lawsuit, and how to get the end results, the two different ways of getting the end results in doing this. So I'm going to be calling Bob today, and we're going to be talking about, you know, presenting petitions. I think he needs to unleash the horses and the hounds and everything and just, you know, let everybody go. But it's hard to do that when you're trying to maintain, you know, let me move forward. Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you're looking for some financial advice or financial assistance to get yourself disciplined and become successful financially, talk to Gary Smith. ConstitutionEducation.us. Keith Broders out there in Florida is doing a bang-up job, and he's trying to grow influencing civics and teaching kids about the Constitution and so forth. And you can kind of look. Maybe some of this stuff will actually help you in teaching children for those types of courses and curriculums. We will be creating what would be considered the framers' view of the Constitution, because what we're going to do is we're going to canonize definitize the Constitution. It's canonized, same. But what we're going to do is we're going to let them tell you exactly what every line means, and we're going to break it down. And this is a very easy job to do. There's not a lot of subjectivity to it. There's no interpretation. This is what I think they said. This is exactly what they said. And we're going to put that in there so that everybody can go, oh, okay. And it completely removes interpretation. Judges will no longer be people that hold crystal balls in some drawer that they can actually pull out and go, I think it says this. Nope, no more. Timber Nation, timbernation.com. Beautiful hardwood furniture. Check them out. Stan Kluwit at Radio Dust Covers. And as a matter of fact, he was one of the people I talked to this week regarding the Biden administration and so forth. But one of the things he told me is that if you happen to have reloader equipment, he does make dust covers for your reloader equipment as well, because he knows lots of people have their reloaders out in the garage or out in some shed or some outbuilding or something. And the cleanliness and so forth and keeping those things clean and lubricated and all of that, it just becomes problematic. So talk to him, give him a call, and see what you can do in getting your reloader protected. Add Local, if you're looking for email services, domain services, anything you need to get organized and to be an effective communicator with your email and so forth, adlocal.com. Our comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, as I said, I had a huge spike in emails and messagings, phone calls, and so forth. This has probably been my biggest since I've been doing radio. This has been my biggest week of spikes in communications. And so just to kind of sum everything up, there's so many people that are really, really uptight. They're upset with the fact that Biden has this power and he's going to basically drag by creating these sanctions. He's forcing us into war. You know what? This is not the first time they've done this. This actually is within their constitutional rights of setting up trade agreements. Folks, we should have these types of limitations on trade with every communist nation. China should be completely locked down and limited. We should never have let that genie out of the bottle. Look at what they've done to us by allowing. They're not our friends. They never are. They never have been. And it is their goal to create this global communist state. But what's going on with Biden is a little bit more than that. And so the overall sentiment, because I actually got this probably out of all of the messages and comments and so forth, because we do have a comment line, and thank you for using it, 425-270-5416. You're more than welcome to call. But the fact is more and more people are pointing to the initial establishment of this country that we were supposed to avoid, you know, entanglements or long-term entanglements or just any types of entanglements and alignments with any kind of country, period. Now, I want you to understand, you got to look at history, because you're not being fair to this nation and how this nation developed. Because when George Washington inherited this nation, what kind of power could America assert around the world? Nothing. I mean, we were just the ragtag little, you know, group of states on the other side of the world that just told Britain, we're not going to let you operate here anymore. And Britain didn't necessarily buy into that. Remember, Britain felt that they still were going to, they had this confidence that they were going to pull us back under their wing down the road. They were going to prove and give us a lesson to prove to the world that you can't sneak out from underneath Britain. And that happened in 1812, when the tensions and sentiments rose to a point where we actually had the second part of the American Revolution play out, where we actually ended all hostilities and finally got Britain to treat us as sovereign independent states that King George actually granted us and recognized. Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk more about this, because I want you to understand in context as a nation what we're doing. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so George Washington, being a brilliant military man and living his whole life in the military, not politics, but in the military, and as a businessman, he understood that you should never commit yourself militarily or even business-wise beyond the capabilities of your organization, beyond your army, your capabilities of a nation. When he inherited this ragtag United States, he knew that we could not defend ourselves, and the last thing we would want is to be dragged into a war. What we have to do is we have to start building. Because remember, in the Constitution did allow for establishing a Navy and Marine Corps to be able to defend. Because the only time we were going to have entanglements at all with any other foreign nation, really, was going to be overseas. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I need to bring up, and just dawned on me, I actually have all of the skirmishes of the United States Marine Corps. And when I say all of the skirmishes, because most people go, well, you know, we're supposed to avoid any type of entanglements. Well, when you get military involved, you're entangled, right? Okay? And so when you look at this Marine Corps skirmishes or Marine Corps engagement spreadsheet, and you can go out online to get this. And the reason why I have this is because the history of the Army and the constitutionality of the Army is in question. The fact that the federal government created and stood up the Army to operate in territories for police state, I think that's interesting because there were some foreign entanglements like with the 1800 and so forth, but it was a huge bypass in allowing a military apparatus instead of actually, you know, creating local government or local sheriffs and, you know, trying to get policing done by the individual territories as they were being created to become states and giving them the resources. And I say that because the cavalry and fighting the Indians and all of these types of things, at that point in time, and this was really when Andrew Jackson was president, they changed their paradigm instead of embracing and trying to assimilate the Indian tribes and people in America, the Native Americans. What they did was they said, okay, we can't live with these folks, so what we're going to do is we're going to round them up and we're going to control them. Now, that power was not granted to the federal government. Where in the Constitution did they have this ability to isolate and select an indigenous group of people to control? So they've constantly been exerting and using unconstitutional powers for a long time. This is just one of the many things of a domestic abuse that the federal government has been committing. But back to this whole point of war. They used a war machine to basically seize control. And as they did, it became more and more less questioned by the new states. So when Missouri came along in 1820... why didn't Missouri say, you can't make us come to become a slave state? All the other states before have been able to choose for themselves. They have their own self-destiny. Now you're telling us we have to become a slave state? Most of the people didn't like that. I am telling you, it was just the affluent people that was moving America in the direction that they wanted. And so as we really start examining our history, there were players that were able to manipulate and manage paradigms so that people saw things a certain way. But the reason why I'm pulling up this Marine Corps engagement is if you go through in 1776, 78, 79, and so forth, up to the end of the Revolutionary War, 1783, you'll notice that there was in 1794, 1798, 1800, 1805, 1812, 1813, 1815, 1820, 1824. There are all of these different utilizations of the Marine Corps. In other words, there were these massacres. There were these different things that were going on, you know, in Florida, which was not a state at the time. All of these different things, because the Marine Corps was always the first to fight for a long, long time, and now we've created Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. We now have this huge apparatus of military forces where it could just be the Air Force, it could just be the Army. But for the longest time, any fighting that was done by the Marine Corps. And so when you start looking through all of the different wars and conflicts and engagements that we've had historically, where's the evidence that we weren't to be in entanglements? Because if you want to understand an entanglement, military skirmishes, that is an entanglement. The fact of the matter is, George Washington recognized that he could not commit America to create alliances, because then it would actually put a drain on us, because France or whatever country that would be would say, hey, we need you to get involved in supporting this. So he had to first allow this country to grow. It had to start developing and building a navy. It had to start developing and growing its Marine Corps ranks. And Thomas Jefferson quickly realized that when he had to send the Marines out to Tripoli, when the, you know, a ship was captured and he had to go after the Mohammedans that actually, you know, took all these guys hostage and the ship and everything. And he, you know, sent him out without Congress's knowledge of it. Then he finally said, yeah, we've got a Marines going out there to do that. So they were finally told. But he took action long before. The fact of the matter is, was that an entanglement? Yes, it was. Was that something that was contrary to the doctrine? Absolutely not. It wasn't creating long-term entanglements and long-term associations, because still at that point in time, America did not have the ability to, if it got involved with a country or group of countries, we didn't have the ability to actually fight. We didn't want to go down that path at the very beginning. It took time until everybody realized that Britain was done. Because see, whether you knew it or not, Britain kind of urinated, like they marked America just like a dog would mark their territory. And they told the world, this is ours and we're taking it back. And so the War of 1812 washed away that marking. The War of 1812, America became its own. And this is when America actually started seeing and this huge paradigm shift. And this all happened under Monroe's watch. So we didn't go from, you know, ending the Treaty of Ghent and all happiness. What we ended up seeing was all of these other entanglements and all these other involvements that started occurring to the south of us in Central and South America. So Monroe, recognizing this and understanding the strategic advantages that could be gained if these crowns of Europe were able to establish a stronger foothold in Mexico, in Latin America, and so forth, Monroe created the Monroe Doctrine and drew the line and said, you will no longer be able to mess around in our hemisphere. He basically says, you mess in our neighbor's yard, you're messing in our yard. And that became a change in the paradigm. So how does that fit this no foreign entanglements? It doesn't. As a matter of fact, we did the right thing in protecting those sister states or those countries in our same hemisphere, in offering them some solitude and some protection so that they could get their stuff together and become a free nation as well, if that's what they chose. It's not like we went down there in conquest and took over. Now, to be clear, at the same point in time, we did ask Mexico to become a state. We asked Canada, would you guys like to become a state? And both of them declined because we had slaves. There you go. So people looked at America as a dirty-handed and a, you know, a bad nation because of slavery. And where did the end, or where did the real paradigm of slavery being bad really come from? Well, it came from the American Revolution and the principles of the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal. And that's why during that Constitutional Convention, when they basically said we were going to maintain slaves, George Mason had a huge hissy fit, rightfully so. So, as we look at what's going on today and placing this in context, as America grew in through the 1800s and going into the early 1900s, things were changing, and things were changing rapidly. Interdependency and involvements within Europe and other nations started growing and growing. In other words, as society started to mature, the interdependencies, the symbiosis between countries became more and more real. And so what ended up happening is in the late 1800s, as communism was being, you know, thrown around, and as Russia was becoming primed to have a communist revolution, a country called Germany decided to just integrate statism or communism and call it socialism without having a revolution. And so this is where Lenin basically says that's why it wasn't a communist state, because they didn't revolt. They didn't use blood to actually do this. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so one of the things that we also have to kind of look at as we're looking at military involvement and we're looking at the growth and the sprawling of America and so forth, the need for our products, commerce, and so forth to sell worldwide was necessary in gaining more and more market space in the international markets of selling American food, selling American furs, selling American products to go to, and in this case, many nations in Europe were basically taking our raw furs and so forth and making nice garments for the opulent Europeans. Not a lot of people in America were necessarily doing these fine garments and so forth, but nevertheless, we were a great source of raw materials. And as a matter of fact, as oil and these types of fuels started coming in, it started changing the game. And so we cannot ignore the need for America to grow what had to be a part of its commerce. And so as we started expanding our commerce more and more, because if you go back to Tripoli, the reason why we got involved in defending our ship and our transporting of goods through the straits there or through the Mediterranean was strictly because we wanted to ensure that our commerce would flow for free. We weren't going to pay tributes. We weren't going to be paying these pirates, you know, fees and bounties. So what we did was we proved that we would be willing to just come and punch you in the face if you did it again, Ottoman Empire. And after that, next thing you know, our commerce is flowing for free because they knew that we weren't there to play and weren't there to pay tribute. We paid for the movement of the merchandise across the land, and for the loading, we paid reasonable fees for reasonable work, but we didn't pay tribute. The framers were very clear that that was an insult. And so anyway, when we look at, you know, the tie between our commerce, our international involvement, and everything else, America at this point was just beginning to crawl. Manifest destiny hadn't occurred. The Monroe Doctrine was just becoming this inkling of an idea. Now all of a sudden we're starting to flex ourselves. It took us a long time. We first had to finish and deal with this abolition problem in the Civil War. We knew it was going to happen, or at least anybody that had any intelligence knew that there was going to be a war over this issue of slavery, because it was becoming more and more polarized. If you look today, the war that we're facing that is polarized is statism or liberty. We won't have to fight a war because we absolutely have the contract on our side. Doesn't mean that they won't try to inflict, but when they do, they will be put down quickly because they don't have the rule of law on their side. They're trying to steal your property, which is your liberty and your rights. They're trying to steal these things from you, and they don't have a legal leg to stand on. So this is the brilliance of the design of the Constitution. But nevertheless, by the time we got to the 1900s, America was actually moving a lot of commerce. And as a matter of fact, we were one of the largest commerce freighting nations in the world. The company that creates a monopoly, or the company that has the best competition in moving freight, is the country that is in a position of dominance. And who is the country today that is moving freight? Oh, that's China. In other words, they're positioning themselves to be dominant because if they don't want you to have it, they won't move it. Now you have to move it yourself. And they're already creating a navy because they understood the American model, that they had to create the navy first. So they didn't start getting aggressive first. They understood not these entanglements. Oh, yeah, come and give us your money and we'll do all of these things for you. This whole time they had a plan of building and creating an economic warfare machine so that they could seize control of the world. They're in the position to do this. This is why I keep telling you we're going to have a war with China. But the cause of the war should not be over what we would call state war or sovereignty war. The war should be over liberty. And what's going on with the Ukraine is the exact same problem. Once we got to the 1900s, every nation that had the potential of being harassed by a despot or by a communist external state, like if you look at what happened in Europe when Germany and France and all, when Germany took over France and they started taking over all these other states, what should have happened, instead of actually creating, you know, this conflict, what should have happened was America, FDR at the time, or Wilson at the time, instead of trying to create a separate government entity like the League of Nations or the UN, what they should have done was they should have said, you know what, why don't you guys have an election, and why don't you guys just go down this path of becoming a state in the United States? You can still maintain your name France. You'll have to change your language and your monetary system and so forth, but you can be a state in the United States and partake of liberty and not have to worry. That was not even considered, because the problem with this new progressive era was that they didn't want liberty. They didn't want people to be free. They wanted to seize control. And it was all about establishing statism. So what we're seeing today is we're now seeing a very tired, over one century of playing the same old game out back and forth, that America gets engaged in a war when it's really just our lives at expense and our resources, our money and so forth. It's not that we don't have better things to do, and it's not that people should be protected. The fact of the matter is, before we get engaged in any war, the nation that needs us, they need to make a commitment to say, we don't want to be sucked into a statist government. We want to have a government of freedom and a government that is ruled by the rule of law. We need a republican form of government, and we want to be a part of the United States. Let the people vote on it, and if the people vote on it, we will be there square first thing in the morning, and we will make sure that no other country is going to step on what the good people of this country has foreordained the direction of that country. That's how you end these entanglements. That's how you end the conversation of whether Russia thinks that they own those people or not. They own those lands or not. They don't. The people that are there that are a sovereign state, they still have the ability. Same thing with Taiwan, Crimea, same thing with Vietnam, same thing with Nepal, same thing with Hong Kong, all of these different states out there that China is malingering in and playing games. All of these states where Russia, there are two conquesting nations of the world, and they are communist nations. We don't have to play conquest. If somebody wants to enjoy liberty and the rule of law and have the protections of the Constitution, then that's what they should be doing, is appealing and having a vote, appealing to the people, having a vote, and then petitioning to become a state of the United States. The problem is that we have to get rid of a lot of really bad players in our politics. Anybody that sees this any other way and thinks that it's better to just be able to play this manipulative game of killing people and, you know, playing over, you know, who owns land and what have you, because clearly, if you look at the states in the United States and you look at the states of the world, those resources really do belong to those people. I mean, some states really don't have any resources. I'll give you a good example, Ethiopia. I mean, Somalia. Some of these countries, they're destitute. Now, they may have something deep, deep down, a rare earth mineral or something, but the countries that these countries are, Ethiopia, Somalia, they are impoverished because they are so resource scarce. But if they become a part of a world global, you know, economy, they could actually become a Garden of Eden, or I'll just say this beautiful metropolis like Singapore. Why can't Somalia become like Singapore, where businesses, because look at Singapore, they don't have any resources, but they have created this huge opportunity of putting in international banking and international businesses, and basically they're just trading of commerce. And look at how successful they are. And that's just an island. But Singapore, standing as a separate nation, has been able to actually provide and have done well for themselves. If you look at some of the states in the United States, there are some of them that are resource shy, you know, like Delaware. Delaware seems to be doing okay because they have lots of businesses that do business out of Delaware. And so, anyway, there are ways for places that might be able to restore themselves or become viable, but in some ways, they may never be. And so some of those, we may have to let go. But anyway, we'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just kind of place context now to what's going on with Biden and the Ukraine. What is in it for all sides? Now, obviously, Biden has really helped out Russia, and they're helping out China. He's bending over backwards in trying to aid these guys. And as a matter of fact, if you understand, Russia's primary revenue resource is petroleum, oil. And as long as oil is as expensive as it is, Russia's making bank. And if Russia can manipulate markets and create conditions that drive the price of oil up more, they make more money. So, and this goes all the way back. If you've never read the book, The Unseen Hand by A. Ralph Epperson, again, I have to caveat that he doesn't understand the Constitution, so some of his assertions in his book are wrong. However, he was absolutely spot on when he talked about this agreement between the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers regarding the oil trade of Russia as well as the oil trade of the rest of the world. Because the Rockefellers, they pretty much went out and captured the oil reserves around the world. But the Rothschilds, they maintained Russia. As a matter of fact, in the book, he points out that there was this huge production race between Russia and the United States, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, that I think it was around early 1900s, 1906, to where Russia was outproducing. The Rockefellers were being outproduced by the Rothschilds in oil. And what this did was it spurred the agreement to basically allow the Rothschilds to control the banking system and the Rockefellers would control the oil production. So in other words, if the agreement is still standing, then it is the Rockefellers who are actually now creating more wealth for Russia for themselves, and the Rothschilds are the ones that are still making all the money and controlling the banking and finance. But nevertheless, let's look at what the heck's going on and who's benefiting. The people aren't benefiting. The Ukraine, and Ukraine is corrupt. But do they deserve an opportunity to choose for themselves whether they want to actually be a sitting duck on the border of Russia or actually be considered to become a state of the United States? This changes the dialogue and the direction of future politics in the area, period. This is why people don't want to have these conversations, because it takes away their control and their ability to manipulate the circumstances so that we could instantly create these diversions. What would happen to any president if all of a sudden they couldn't create a war anymore to divert the attention of the bad things that are happening on their watch? If you start looking at the reasons and why and how certain things are occurring and why war is actually being presented to the American people, there's no doubt in my mind the American people would wake up. They'd go, wow, hey, hold on here. You know, there is another alternative. If these people want to be saved, if these people want to actually enjoy liberty, then why aren't they petitioning to become a state in the United States? I mean, if they just want to be corrupt people and do the status quo and continue living like a Russian state, then why don't they just become a part of Russia? Now, there's lots of strategic reasons why, you know, we may be interested, and there's all sorts of arguments on this, from the ability of getting uranium out of there, the energy, all of these different things are huge. But the fact of the matter is the underlying thing comes down to government and what government is best. And creating NATO and being involved in another government entity agreement like NATO, where in the Constitution did we allow the federal government to do that? To create these pacts, to create our involvement in subjugating us to other nations. It's one thing to create a treaty and, you know, in ending a war or a treaty of trade amongst nations, but to subjugate us, they don't have that authority. But they've convinced us over the years that they could. We're in this situation because they're doing things that they have no authority to do. And that is why we actually have to start talking about the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is, what do they have the authority to do, and what can we do, and what should they do? And when you put it into that context, I really think it does simplify it. I think it just makes it so much easier. Anyway, with that, I hope that really covers it, because there's not going to be a good option. If Biden is allowed to maintain control, the only hope that we have is to get Biden removed. So if you really want to stop Biden flexing this muscle and playing this manipulative game, why aren't you talking about the lawsuit that would remove him? Why isn't anybody talking about this lawsuit that we're telling you about? Congress is being sued. Congress failed to do what they were constitutionally required to do when they couldn't get a constitutional president seated. They were forced to actually do the 12th Amendment, to execute the 12th Amendment, and they didn't. So if you really want to end this conversation, the best way to do it is end the Biden administration. Now, a part of the conversation I had this week was, you know, that means we're going to have Trump as president. Okay, so there are two devils in front of you. One is Trump and the other is Biden. We know them both. We understand these two devils. Do we believe that we might be able to influence Trump to do more better things, more good things than bad things? Because we know there is no way Biden is going to do anything that's best for us, for freedom, for liberty, and for, you know, sustaining liberty in the world. Because under his watch, we have seen tyrannical governments, and it's, what has Biden said about what's going on in Canada and the seizing of bank assets and all? I mean, the atrocities that are going on around the world of this despotic governments going after their people, and Biden is tight-lipped, but he wants to go to war with Ukraine and Russia over Ukraine? Come on. This is the absolute epitome of hypocrisy. Folks, you want to get involved, you really want to start changing things, you have to start becoming a part of the solution. You have to start demanding these dialogues. I know you listen to these other pornographic news channels. I know you do. So why don't you call them up and say, hey, you guys are missing the whole point. Why aren't you talking about this lawsuit that G.R. Mobley and Bob Schultz have been talking about for over a year? Why aren't you getting behind that? Why aren't we start talking about the power that Congress has in removing the Biden administration? They don't need the court. They do not need the court to actually seize control of the president because they violated the Constitution in seating him. They can easily concede. And it is a reality. Even though right now both houses are kind of controlled by the Democrats, in 2023, if we have control, the absolute first thing that should happen is that they go into chambers and remove the Biden administration. But they won't do it if you're not talking about it. They won't do it if it doesn't become public knowledge. I am here to tell you, you want to be the dangerous person in the room? Start telling people about the things that will actually invoke change. Things that will legally, constitutionally invoke change. Start forcing the dialogue amongst your state legislator campaigns, amongst your congressional campaigns. If there is a campaign out there, you need to be poking them in the eye saying, well, there's this lawsuit that will remove the Biden administration. What is your position on that? And will you support the execution of the 12th Amendment if you go to Congress? They'll look at you like, what the heck are you talking about? And say, and then let everybody know, oh, if nobody knows, Congress has been sued since last year, and that case is still going through the court to actually remove the Biden administration. And Congress is doing everything they can to stonewall and trying to silence this lawsuit. The federal government is doing everything they can. The swamp is doing everything they can to silence this lawsuit, folks. You have to make it into your central news. I'm telling you, it only starts with just a handful of people. It just takes a couple of ping pongs to start violently going into the crowd of ping pongs. And before you know it, you've got a huge ping pong storm where all the ping pong balls are just bouncing off of each other. Now, we have to keep that storm going by continually injecting, injecting, and injecting. We've got a year of doing this, but we can do this. And I'm hoping that you actually dial into Bob's seminar when that happens. I know that we've got a lot of doers here. There's a lot of people that recognize what we're talking about and what we're doing are actually tangible solutions and real things that will actually, if we act upon these things, we will actually get what we're looking for. We will get the relief, we will get the change, and we will get our country back. With that, I hope you have a great weekend. I will get back to, and we will finish this constitutional jurisdiction, and then we're going to get into what you need to do and what you need to do parallel. In other words, we're going to kind of lay out, these are the things you need to be doing simultaneously so that you can be the most effective political weapon that you want to be. This is how we can help you be the best you can. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.